Blog Talk Radio.
The first station. Jesus is condemned to death.
Like sheep, each one going his own way. The Lord has laid the guilt of us all on you. We hide our faces not to see the stripes upon your back. Though harshly treated, you open not your mouth. You wear a crown woven from thorns and made of thorns. Without a sound, our punishment you bear. He was found guilty, and so we think of him as stricken, afflicted by God.
Jesus,
beaten
We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. Presenting from Deeper Truth, the Saint of the Day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the Saint of the Day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances that the Blessed Virgin has made somewhere in time over the last 2,000 years. And she's been busy. She's been really busy. As we talked last week, she appeared in 40 AD, and she's still appearing today. So that's a long time. So what we do is try to figure out what's going on. We hear the information, we research it, we bring it to you and try to give you the best version of what's out there to know about. Some are well-known stories, most of them are not, because they're closing in on 2,700 reported apparitions, and it takes a while, since they're all around the world, to get good information about any of them that are going on. But we do get good reports, and we get people who've written books and have been there in person. So we've gathered a lot of information. And what our job is to bring it to you so that you can decide what you think of it. I sure didn't know about any of this 12 years ago. No idea whatsoever. And I had lived most of my life with no knowledge of any Marian apparitions. But being a psychiatric therapist, I always take an interest in people's experiences. And when I became Catholic in 2010, I decided I wanted to check these things out, see what was going on. And I was so impressed. I was so amazed at the consistency and the clarity and the impressive documentation and scientific evidence and everything that's been gathered, psychological tests, everything that might help us understand what's going on. And I found out that there's a lot more information out there than anyone realized. All you had to do was go look, search it, look it up, find it. But they aren't talking about most of these encounters in Catholic schools or certainly at churches. If they mention anything, it's usually about Fatima, Guadalupe, or Lourdes. If you know about Medjugorje, you might be a little more up to date. If you know about the Miraculous Medal, you might know something even more. But after that, good luck. Not too many people know about many other apparitions. And to think that there's over 2,600, there's a lot we're not looking at or understanding. So this show tries to bring more of it to you. I've studied 101. That's not much out of 2,000 some, but it's a pretty good chunk because it's the better documented, better evidenced reports. And so we have plenty to talk about in going over those 101 stories. And tonight we'll be going back to 352 A.D. So that will be interesting. A lot of it by tradition, but a lot of good evidence. And we'll talk about that as we go. And why we do this show is, again, we want to inspire, we want to inform, we want to educate, we want to bring so much of this information to you so that you can know what's going on. We get nothing out of it other than the joy of knowing we've helped to bring information to the world. And so we hope that you do gain from that. And we know that we've tracked, 130 different countries from around the world that tune in. We've tracked it, and it's just amazing. And we are so grateful for your interest, and we are so glad we can help. So, first of all, let's bring on my co-host, the founder of Deeper Truth, and a great supporter of this show, and having started it in January of 2014, here we are in 2023. Who knew, Donald, we'd still be going every Sunday night.
Going strong, too. Going God strong.
Yeah.
You know, that is so awesome. And Mike, I'm so thankful that Mike is with us as well, because think about what he has done. Did you notice there that, you know, we started this whole thing of now because I've been doing the Saints of the Day, and now we've kind of focused on that, you know, Deeper Truth, the Saint of the Day, you know, the Saint Patrol, like we got the Rosary Patrol, and now we got the Saint Patrol, and now we got Hartley's.
Heroes.
How do you say that there? Heroes. You got it. Hartley's Heroes. Did you kind of notice that there, John?
Yeah, but what is Hartley's Heroes? It didn't really explain.
Well, Hartley, because the saints are heroes. That's what I'm referring to as heroes. The saints are our heroes.
Okay.
And I kind of, and along with we got Kathy. Kathy's coming in. How you doing, Kathy?
Hi, Donald. I'm doing good. Hi, everybody.
Outstanding.
Hello.
I'm here.
All
Hi,
right.
John.
Out. And we got Doc here. Doc had asked a request for a prayer. Doc?
John, I had a thought before the show, you know, and I sit out here and meditate, and whatever comes up, I go with. You know, they say that if all you need for help, if you need help, all you got to do is ask for it. And in this way, that's helping yourself. And there are millions of people that are doing that right now. But there are countless numbers of people who can't ask for help. They can't, they may not even know to pray. You know, because all you got to do is say, God, help me. Help is on the way. That's why we're here. That's why we do the show. But there are those who don't even know to do that. And I was wondering if you'd give a prayer for those people.
Well, sure. Sure.
I know it's on the spot, but like I said, it came to me. I put it out.
Well, we do pray for all those people out there that don't know to ask for help or don't know how to ask for help. Mary has said so many times that so many graces are not granted because nobody asks for them. And she has so many that God gives to her that are not handed out because nobody asks for them. So if you're hearing this program and you know someone that needs the help and doesn't know, just tell them to pray. And it doesn't have to be a lengthy prayer. They don't have to look something up that's been written. They can just simply say, God, help me. You know what I need. Help me, Lord. And it can be that simple of a prayer because God knows. God knows everything. So he knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you need. But you have to ask, and it helps to ask. You can't just expect things to come your way without acknowledging God and acknowledging that you want his help. And ask Mary to ask him. She's good for that. That's for sure.
So, yeah, the ones I'm talking about, though, John, are the ones that can ask. They can't ask. There's no one to ask. Like, you know, kids that are getting aborted, people in human trafficking, who are they going to ask? And they, you know, they might be praying, but they might not know to pray. And then certainly their handlers aren't going to tell them. So I want to give a shout-out to them, the ones that can
turn this around. You lead us in a prayer for them because I think you know exactly what you're wanting there. So go for it.
Okay. Dear Lord, what I'm asking for are those that can't ask for help. Guide them. Give them the comfort, the strength, the endurance, and the perseverance to get through whatever struggle or hardship that comes their way. It is said that you will give us a way to you no matter how hard our struggle. But for those that can't ask, don't know how to, this is for them. I'm asking for them. Help them. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you for that. That was great. All right. Well, tonight we go back to 352 A.D., and it's Rome, Italy. Nice place to go for this. But it's called Our Lady of the Snows. Now, here in the Midwest, in Belleville, Illinois, right across from St. Louis, we have a very big shrine dedicated to Our Lady of the Snows. And for the longest time, I thought that it must have happened there until I knew the actual story. And then I realized, no, it has nothing to do with Belleville, Illinois. It has to do with Rome, Italy. But they just honor the apparition there. And they have a great dedication to it, the story and everything. So this story took place in Rome. And most of it's through tradition because think of the year, 352 A.D. So a lot of it was told orally and finally written down. But it began with a wealthy aristocrat and a devout Christian known by tradition as John, and he lived in Rome with his wife in the 4th century. They had no children, and they feared that the lack of an heir, not having one, would end their family's long prominence in the government of the city. So they had often prayed for a child, but without any success. One day, John's wife said, "Let's pray to the Blessed Virgin to nominate an heir." Well, in August of that year, John had a dream that the Virgin Mary wanted a church built in her honor in Rome. Now, guys, last week, first apparition, wanted a church built. This week, second apparition, wants a church built. Already, we're two for two, and the pattern is already beginning. So, two out of two. All right, wants a church built in her honor in Rome. Yeah. He was told that they would know where to build it because snow would fall on that spot. Now, this is hot August in Rome. If anyone's been there in Rome in August, you know, it's not cold. So
this is pretty amazing that she says, well, you'll know where to build it because it will snow there. Right. Well, amazingly, Pope Liberius had the same dream on that same night. The Pope Liberius, had the very same dream on that same night. That's no accident. Now, despite it being a very hot summer in Rome, snow did fall the next day on Mount Esquiline, one of the famous seven hills of Rome. However, it fell into a precise rectangular pattern, as if outlining the boundaries of a church that Mary desired to have built. Snow does not fall in geometric shapes. Anyway, but it did. So when Pope Liberius showed up on Mount Esquiline to witness the miraculous snowfall, he found John and his wife already there, kneeling in prayer to the Virgin. People crowded to see this rectangular patch of snow, which would not melt despite the hot summer heat of August. John was convinced that its shape and size indicated that a church should be built on that precise spot. So as soon as they plotted out, you know, they roped it off or whatever, they plotted out the shape of that snow pattern for that building, and after it got staked out, the snow melted. Miracle performed. All right. Hey, I'll just stop there for a second. What do you guys think of that?
I would have made snow angels. I would have dove. I mean, come on. It's 100 degrees in the shade. I would have dove in. It's a miracle. Praise God. I'm on it.
Mike, are you
probably
there?
Been struck by it.
I'm here.
Yeah, I probably would have been burned right there. But
that just goes to show. That just goes to show that Our Lady and not Dairy Queen invented the blizzard.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. But it was
That's
a holy
good.
Blizzard. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, pretty amazing. What do you think of this, Kathy?
That's pretty wild.
Us or the
I don't
story?
Know, like. Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story. I mean, she couldn't be more specific, I think.
Yeah, really.
That's one way. That's one sure way of giving Satan a snow job.
Oh, my Lord. That's cold, Mike. That's really cold. Well, melting on here. John met the cost of building this church, because he's wealthy, you know, and it was completed in 354 AD, just 2 years later. It was dedicated as Ca Liberiana after Pope Liberius. 70 years later, it was rebuilt on a grander scale by Pope Sixtus III, who added decorations and ornaments of silver. It was renamed the Basilica Sixti at that time. Today, it is called the Church of Santa Maria Maggiore, or St. Mary Major. Yes, right near the Vatican. St. Mary Major, and is one of the largest basilicas in the world. They celebrate the miracle of the snow every year on August 5th. Now, that's pretty cool, because I remember when Pope Francis first came into being Pope, one of the first places he went was to Mary Major Basilica and prayed to Mary, or prayed, you know, thanking Mary for, you know, this miracle and everything and that whole connection. So that's pretty cool. Pope Liberius provided a special painting of Madonna and Child from St. Helen, mother of Emperor Constantine, and it was to be housed in this new basilica. Many miracles are attributed to this wonderful painting. When Gregory the First was in the years 590 to 604 A.D., Rome was ravaged by a plague. Pope Gregory carried the image of the Holy Mother in a procession from the basilica as far as Hadrian's mausoleum. I guess you'd have to know Rome to know how far that was. When the procession arrived, they heard an invisible heavenly choir. I'll say that again. They heard an invisible heavenly choir singing Regina Coeli, which I think is Queen of Heaven, if I remember right. Yeah. When the Pope answered the Virgin, or asked the Virgin to pray for the city, he saw an apparition of Saint Michael. Now, this is the Pope. The Pope saw an apparition of Saint Michael replacing the sword of vengeance into its scabbard, and the plague ended. The magnificent Basilica of St. Mary Major still stands today as the seat of devotion to Our Lady of the Snows. Father Paul Scholte of the Missionary Oblates of Mary Immaculate introduced a shrine in her honor in the Midwest of the U.S. in 1941, which still stands today in Belleville, Illinois. And it's a short story, but there you have it, the story of Our Lady of the Snows.
What was the last state in Illinois?
1941 in Belleville, Illinois. I've been there, and they also have a wonderful reproduction of the Lourdes Grotto, Lourdes, France, you know, with Bernadette kneeling and Mary up in the niche in the cave wall. They've got a great replica of that, and they have some others there too. It's a really pretty cool dedication to our Blessed Mother.
Well,
so that's
going,
it.
Man.
Hmm.
What
did
you do there?
It's pretty cool how the popes were so involved. I mean, the pope had the same dream of the snowfall, and then the pope saw the vision of St. Michael, and, you know, the popes were pretty involved in this whole story, and St. Mary Major is certainly right there. I believe it's in walking distance of the Vatican. I don't know if anyone's been to it.
My wife's been. That was when I was courting her.
Yep.
It's been a minute.
It's pretty cool, though, that she's not only done this time, but she's asked for churches many times. And sometimes, like with the great one in Washington, D.C., Basilica, the Immaculate Conception, I believe that's the title, that you often see on EWTN. And I've been there. Oh, my gosh. And I think, Donald, you've been there. And I don't know if anyone else has, but it's so grand. It's so absolutely breathtaking. And that was designed by our Blessed Mother to given to a visionary in the Midwest, in Ohio, one that was in Ohio and Indiana and some of the Midwestern states. And Mary gave her directions that she wanted the Basilica not built in the Midwest, but in Washington, D.C., gave her the directions, the measurements, everything for it to be done. And when I was there, I was so hoping that they'd have some plaque or something indicating that, but they didn't, not that I could see. Of course, it's a big place. It might have been somewhere. But, yeah, here our greatest basilica in the United States was from a Marian apparition, directed by Mary, where she wanted it and how she wanted it built. And yet we don't hear about that hardly ever. So she has certainly inspired some very huge basilicas around the world. Balankhani, India, that was another big one. Another one in Poland is really big. Another one in Italy. So it goes on and on. There's a lot of big basilicas. So, you know, what if she hadn't shown up? What if she had never asked for those churches? What if she never inspired people to build them? Just think how different Catholic religion would be if we didn't have all these big basilicas inspired by her appearances. And that's a thought. It would change the landscape for sure.
Another thought is that a lot of Protestants like to criticize us and say, well, we should take all that money that we put into those churches and give it to the poor. And like Jesus says, we'll always have the poor with us. But Mary wants these churches to bring her son to the people.
And some of those churches that she asked for were built by the poor, by pennies, by stone. I mean, many stories it talks about how the pennies of the poor built the church. So
yeah.
It's not always rich people that did it.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the same question that Judas tried to make when Mary Magdalene, I think it was, Judas noticed Mary Magdalene was anointing Jesus with a special oil. Turned out to be the oil of spikenard. It's what the Jewish people at the time anointed their kings with. And Judas said. This should have been sold and given, and the money given to the poor. Now, the scripture footnotes that Judas said that not because he had concern for the poor, but because it was a thief.
Anybody? Reaction?
I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that.
I couldn't understand really what Mike was saying. Mike, I couldn't understand it maybe because of your phone.
A little garbled, a little muffled.
Mm. Well, I keep trying to fix it.
That was a little bit better.
Yeah, that was better. You might have been too close to the mic. I think what he was saying was that Judas was saying that money could have been spent on the poor, and it wasn't about the money. It was the principle, I guess. Again, I don't know. I didn't catch the last part, but I think Judas's thought process was in the right place at the time, but he didn't understand what Christ was. I really don't think he did. My always understanding is he was expecting Jesus to take over and run things there. And when it didn't pan out, well, he did what he did.
I understand this too. I understand this about Judas is that he managed the money. And so he was the
treasurer of the apostolic band. That's
exactly.
Right. He was the treasurer.
And so I think that he had that in mind, and he didn't want to waste all the money that he considered that they needed for what Jesus was, you know. So I think Judas had the wrong application for what Jesus was doing.
Yeah.
I think he didn't
understand what Jesus was doing. He was looking at it very worldly. I think he saw Jesus in a worldly set and couldn't grasp what Jesus was trying to teach to him.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You know, one thing about this story tonight, the fact that she used a snowfall in August, she was trying, or God was trying to make a point that this has to be miraculous, that it couldn't be faked, or someone says, oh, you just made that dream up, you just want a church built or something. But to make it snow in hot August and not let it melt until they got it and figured out what it was supposed to be, and then all of a sudden, as soon as they staked it out, then it melted like it should. I mean, that's heaven's way of saying, okay, we're going to do something rather miraculous here to really get your attention. And yeah. I like that.
You imagine being there, watching that happen?
Oh, man. I mean, it's so cool to have it fall in a geometric pattern that they recognized finally to be the outline of the church that was to be built. I mean, that's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah.
And the Pope had the dream. This wealthy man and his wife had the dream. And all the other onlookers came and saw it and couldn't believe it. That here's this weird patch of snow.
Did they have a kid? Out.
Huh?
Do we know if the couple had a child? I mean, they were praying for a kid, right?
They prayed for one. They never got one. And so Mary said, well, you're going to build a church instead and honor me.
Okay.
So that was their baby, you might say. But, well, and he wanted his prominence not to die out. So I guess if he built this magnificent church, he certainly wasn't going to be forgotten since he couldn't have a child.
Right.
They're going to be remembered in another way. But I just love it when heaven does it in a miraculous way where you can't deny that this is super strange and certainly amazing how it was begun. This whole founding of this great basilica, one of the biggest in the world, one of the biggest in the world, was started from Mary's. So pretty cool. Mm. Anything biblical about that, Donald?
Well, when you look at the Old Testament, you go to the 9th chapter, it says that God had, you know, David was going, you know, David was not allowed to build the temple, but it was given to Solomon. And Solomon built the temple in the first temple period. And the Lord blessed Solomon, and he blessed the temple. And I think that is so important to that, because it's God's house. And so that was way back then, but now we have something greater where the tabernacle is today. It is an upgrade from what the tabernacle was in the Old Testament. So what we have is the upgrade, because Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, divinity. And Jesus made it so at the Last Supper. And so we are all invited to this every Mass. And that is, yes, that is extremely biblical, the breaking of bread. And there are miracles that show the Lord's presence in a powerful way from the scriptures and at every Mass. When you go to Mass and you receive the Eucharist, you are receiving the King of the universe, the King of all creation. And man, and that's what Our Lady is calling us to. Our Lady is pointing us towards. That's what Jesus is calling for. And so it is excellent, biblical, and extraordinaire.
Well,
you agree with that there, Kathy?
I sure do. I was just reading a thing that said, the Lord is more anxious to forgive us our sins than a mother is to carry her baby out of a burning building.
Wow. Say that again.
The Lord is more anxious to forgive us our sins than a mother is to carry her baby out of a burning building.
Wow.
St. John Vianney. St. John Vianney said that. He would know. He read hard, and people stood in line all day to go to confession to him.
Wow. He's one of the incorrupt saints, too. Wow. Well, our story was short. Any other thoughts, reactions? Anyone up to anything, doing anything different or new in your lives?
Wow.
Enjoying Lent.
Well, yeah, Lent.
I'm enjoying Lent.
Yep.
I've been doing the fasting. The fasting thing, I fasted 40 hours, and that was tough, and I got through it, and but I keep falling off the wagon after I do the fasting. So the last 2 weeks, I'm really going to buckle down and
wow.
Do better.
I'm
40 hours in a row.
Tears of Christ, and I can't remember the author's name. I have a bunch of prayers I read in the morning, and that I started reading. It's each day as a different thing, and it's very, very good. It's called Tears of Christ. I'll get the name and next week and have it. But it's a good Lenten. It helps you focus on each day of Lent. So
very good.
Anyway, yeah.
Very good, very good. You know, there are other apparitions in and around this same time, but unfortunately they just don't. I mean, this one, even though it had a lot more information, you still see how short it is. And some of them are just like a few sentences or a paragraph saying what supposedly happened somewhere. And you know, it's not more than a few sentences long for some of those. I mean, that's why we say there's close to 2,700 documented, but unfortunately, a lot of the earlier ones don't have a whole lot of information and not much to talk about, just documenting that something happened in this place. But who are you going to talk to, right? It's like,
yeah,
if it happened in 200 AD, it's, it better have been written down or it's probably long gone. So, but they do document that something happened.
No, they don't have it on tape.
No.
200 AD, they're sitting there cracking in the rocks. Okay, slow down. I got to get this. Tick, 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 tick.
Oh, I tell you. So anyway, what else we all got going on? Probably some conferences and stuff going on.
Well, there's a lot of stuff like that going all around now. But every day I've been doing a show every day focusing on the scripture of the day and the saint of the day. Hence why Michael, he's helped me with putting together two, you know, the one about Hartley's heroes.
Hartley's heroes.
Yeah, and then the I love it though. I love it. I think it's awesome. Not, you know, because, but just because we're promoting and talking about the saints, and that's like an odyssey, you know, just like these Mary, you know, looking at where Mary has been appearing from 40 A.D. and the church, everything about that is an oddity, but covering the scripture of the day and the saints of the day, that's an oddity. I mean, that's amazing. And a lot of those Marian apparitions were seen by the saints, and I'm working on that, too, as I see it, as I come to it.
Good.
So that's powerful.
Good, good, good.
Oh.
It's great.
Yeah, there's a lot
like
there.
That.
Yeah, it is. And get people fired up, yes.
One idea I had had to write, which I decided not to because I saw someone that tried to do it, was to, you know, like you do a calendar every day of the year, you have a reflection, and there's enough apparitions and enough stories that I was going to have every day be a piece of some apparition from somewhere, you know, because
cool.
You got 365 days, you easily could get pieces of, oh, even just 100 apparitions I know about, you could easily get several comments from each one. And
well, that'd be
the
neat,
exact
John.
Days. Yeah, and the exact days they happened on. And, you know, so as you go through your calendar, you'd see each day a reminder of this apparition happened here, and this was significant with this date. And
well, yeah, and what's significant sometimes the Blessed Virgin Mary, the day or the time or whatever she says the thing has meaning as to what she's talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You also want to look at what happened historically when these apparitions were taking place.
That's a good
point.
What was
happening in that particular town? I mean, I noticed that was Christmas starting to become a secular celebration even then, and Christ was being relegated more and more to the background. And Mary said, "Let's have a little fun. Let's have a little snowstorm." I said, "I'm right."
Christmas in July. Well, almost.
I was talking to a young man the other day about your book. I was telling about that mural on the cave wall and a couple of the other ones in there. He seemed pretty impressed. He might be purchasing it.
Well, good, good. I mean, to me, it's getting the information out there. Like what Kathy did with her Sunday school. I just love that. I wonder if you brought that back to them again, the book to your Sunday school class.
Well, right now, one of the other teachers has it and is using it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool, though. That's great.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Yeah, so I might do that at some point. It was an idea, and I started to work on it, and yeah, I don't know. I got bogged down, and then I saw someone had done something Mary every day of the year. And I thought, oh, somebody's already done something similar, and
so
I kind of backed off. But
so? Doesn't matter. More people
yeah.
do it, the
hey,
better.
And Mike had a good idea there. I like that, Mike, with what else was going on at that time, because a lot of people don't realize that the miracle of the sun on October 13th, that very same day in Russia, the Bolsheviks were tearing down the Catholic Basilica and anything Catholic on that same exact day
mm-hmm.
in Russia. And yet very few people know that on that same day that was happening. Which is why Mary said, watch out for Russia.
Yeah.
And poor little Lucia, she thought Russia was an old woman that needed converted. She didn't know who Russia was yet. Poor Lucia. So, anyway, yeah, that's a good idea. That might spark my interest again. I got something else I'm working on, too. I always like to piddle with writing, so we'll see. This one's a surprise.
Are you going to tell us what it is?
Nope.
I just thought I'd ask.
No, I think I'll pop this one on you in a few months. And No, I'm not going to let out the cat out of the bag yet.
Cat's got my tongue. You know that.
Oh, hey, quit snowing me, Mike. That Hogan's Heroes is pretty cute, though. Hartley's Heroes, that was cute. It's too bad you don't have Sergeant Schultz at the end, you know, doing some kind of remark.
Nothing.
That'd be really cute. Oh, well. Well, we're getting there. Anyone else got any comments or questions tonight? Kind of wide open for our audience out there. But I will say we're 2 for 2 on Mary requesting a church. And I will say next week she's going to make another request. And we're going to Walsingham, England in 1061. Walsingham, England, 1061. And that's all I'll say. But that's a good one. So, if nothing else tonight, we can always go ahead with our worldwide Hail Mary, and Kathy can follow up with her wonderful, wonderful prayers in Latin. We appreciate that so much. So I'll ask everyone out there now to join with me in our worldwide Hail Mary. In doing so, all of our voices will rise in unison up to heaven, where heaven will smile, hopefully, and know that we're all honoring our Blessed Mother. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pater noster quiet. Numini patri filii spiritui sancti. Amen. Pater noster quies in caeli sanctificetur nomen tuum adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua sicut in cedo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie. Et dimitte nobis debite nostra. Sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos de malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu Mariaibus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat et in principio, et nunc et semper, saecula, saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritui Sancti. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us.
Amen.
Back to you, Donald.
Well, I want to thank everybody tonight and Our Lady of Snows. If you happen to be in the St. Louis area, there is a place there where you can honor Our Lady of Snows there near St. Louis. Have you ever? I know you've been there before, John, and I've been there before. And so
yeah,
it's
Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right across the river from St. Louis. Yep.
I wrote a.
That's
so,
really, it's really nice.
I wrote a camel there.
You did what?
Yeah, they have Christmas lights there, and you can ride a camel. And so I wrote a camel.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
This is not easy to sit on that hump. I don't know how people do it.
I'm trying to picture that, Kathy. Surely you have a picture somewhere.
I think there's a video.
Oh my gosh! I'm sorry, Mike. You didn't have a joke related to that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're glad you're safe and didn't fall off.
Me
yeah,
too. The size of the hooves on those camels. If you'd have fell off, I mean, it'd been you know, probably 7 feet to hit the ground, and then that camel would step on you.
Yeah, I want to know how he got up on
it. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a platform. You go up the steps, you stand on the platform, and then you get on the camel.
I want to know how they did it in the desert when they crossed the desert, how they got up and down off of one.
I think the camel sat down.
That makes sense.
I've watched enough Indiana Jones movies.
All right. Well, back to you, Donald.
Well, I just want to say God bless everybody. It's been a blessed day to receive the body and blood and soul of Jesus Christ today. And I encourage everybody to go to Mass, when you know, to make the Mass the center of your life, and to go to confession often. When you go to confession, you receive a judgment of mercy. And that is so important, because Jesus will honor that judgment when you stand before him to face his justice. He will honor that. And that's what we should all want, to have his mercy when we stand to face his justice. Because I wouldn't want to be there without it. Would you, John?
No, and that's why I wrote that chapter in my book that's entitled, I Don't Want to Go to Confession. That's why I did that, because that's what you hear most people afraid of it, or not wanting to, or embarrassed or something. And I covered all that in that chapter, and leaving the students with the teacher at the end saying, oh man, I want to come clean and go see my priest now. they were ready after they heard all about the stuff that can happen if you don't go. So anyway, all right, we'll see y'all next week.
Y'all take care.
And don't forget tomorrow, Eucharistic miracles. With
yeah.
Dr. Gregory Thompson.
That's right.
Well, here's a little promo for him.
How's life these days? And it probably is, especially if you're trying to live it all by yourself. Life today is so complicated, each and every one of us could use some help. People like you and me shell out millions of dollars for counseling. We pay through the nose for help from our relationship to our career. And it just doesn't stop. Suppose I told you that the best help there is can be yours for the asking. You probably heard of Jesus of Nazareth, the best life ever lived on this planet. Well, he's not just a man. He's God to boot, and you don't get any better than that. You know, he left us a gift. No, not some old worn-out trinket that gets tossed in the closet after a few days. He left us himself, his real presence with us. We Catholics call that the Eucharist, a $20 theological word that means thanksgiving. And boy, are we thankful. The Eucharist, not just bread. It's him, really.
And tune in tomorrow night, same time, to see how God lifts the veil, and we see what really happens.
Amen. And so we'll see y'all then.
Good night, everybody.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.